The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Wait a minute. Albin, is this live? Am I talking? Can people hear me? Can people see me? All right, folks, I guess I got to come clean. Today, my friend Ken Fish is my guest. You know, it's going to get crazy. That's a good thing. Ken Fish, my friend, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be back with you again.
I was desperate to get you on here as soon as possible because you and I were just in Kansas City with our spouses or wives, depending on where you're from. And we experienced things that I can't process easily. Like, it was so wonderful. Mike Bickle is the head of Kansas City Fellowship, IHOP, International House of Prayer, whatever they're calling it. I'd never met him before. He's kind of a legend. I'd heard about him. What an astonishing human being. What a wonderful person. I'd never, you know, until you meet somebody, you just don't know what you're going to find. But just delightful in every way. And his wife and so many of the folks we met there. I was there because of you. So tell my audience, I haven't said anything. This is the opening segment today. What happened?
Wow. Well, let's see. Six of us came together. So Mike, of course, was leading it. And just to clarify the nomenclature, he founded his church nearly 40 years ago under the banner of Kansas City Fellowship. It later became a Vineyard church, so at the time it became Kansas City Vineyard. These days it's known as IHOP KC, International House of Prayer of Kansas City. So Mike was called us all together. You were there, of course, so Eric Metaxas, Francis Chan, who probably should not need any introduction, but he's one of the leading thinkers in the evangelical world. Andy Bird, who's one of the rising stars within Youth with a Mission, which is a global missions organization. By the way, Youth with a Mission, together with what was once Campus Crusade for Christ, but these days is known as CRU, C-R-U, those two together field nearly 20% of the missionaries on the planet. And Andy's one of their rising stars, one of their top leaders. So he was there. And then Chris Reed, who is a prophetic voice that is emerging in visibility and, you know, won't be long before most people are aware of who he is. And then me. So we were all six of us together.
But it was a crazy gang, a crazy mixture of folks. I hadn't met most of those folks. I'd never met Francis Chan, never heard him preach, never read any of his books, but I was aware of him. And I have to say, I just developed a real love for him. He's first of all hilarious. I think he's kind of like when he's preaching, he's like a mixture of Gilbert Gottfried and Yul Brynner. Let me just leave it at that. Actually, I said Gilbert Gottfried, but my friend Keith Junta, who was with us, he said, and Yul Brynner. And I thought, exactly. But he's Francis is very funny, and I want to get the sermon that he preached Saturday night online so people can check it out, because it was just beautiful. It was very moving and prophetic in its way. I use it in a different sense than Chris Reed. Chris Reed, I'd never met. He's 36, and he has a gift from God. How do you go about describing him? I mean, there are many people listening to this program utterly unaware of that kind of thing, or hostile to it, or confused by it. What do you say to those folks about Chris?
Well, Chris functions primarily in the gift of word of knowledge, which is one of the nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 by Paul. And word of knowledge, probably a more modern way of saying it is word of data. So it's a revelation of specific data points about a situation or an individual. Chris has a very strong gift in this area. He for those who have never seen anything like this in operation, I would send you back to the book of 1 Samuel, where Samuel anoints Saul as the king. And in 1 Samuel 10, Samuel gives Saul a word, and there's more than 40 distinct pieces of information in the word. He says, you know, when you get to the territory of Zelza and you're near the great well of Seku, you'll meet a company of prophets. They'll be coming down from the high place. They're going to have three goats. They're going to have three loaves of bread. They're going to have a skin of wine. They're going to be playing these different instruments, and he names five of them, lyre, flute, tambourine, etc. Anyway, he gives them all this information, and it comes to pass exactly as he says. Chris functions with that degree of clarity and specificity, and so as he was ministering, he would call people out, oftentimes kind of zeroing in on their name, but not actually knowing their name. And just to be very clear for those that are skeptics, these are people that he did not know, did not have any prior information on. There was no research
now, look,
done
Ken,
on that.
No one, there are plenty of people, and you know it, who will never believe this. And they are just convinced because they watch like a Steve Martin movie that it's all fake or whatever it is. And, you know, I'm sure there are classic cases of this that are fake. But, you know, we hung out. We spent a lot of time with Chris Reed and with all these folks. And, you know, you can tell pretty quickly where somebody's coming from. And he is delightfully humble, six kids, just, you know, the most wonderful, funny person. And when he did this, I mean, I was privy to a lot of it. When my friend, the biggest shock to me, in other words, if I hadn't believed in this stuff, my buddy Keith Junta from Connecticut, we've been really close for 30 years, and he has a cousin who lives in Kansas City, and he's heard about this for years. He says, maybe I'll come. So he comes the other day, and I said to him, Keith, we're doing these like intimate sessions, like 30-something people at the beginning of each day. You really should be there. You're my close friend. Suzanne is there. Your wife is there. I mean, he's such a close friend, and he kind of gets this stuff. I said, if they'll let you, you should be there. So he walks in. This is, I don't know, what, 4 days ago. Sits down. He's, you know, he's an hour late, and he just sits down near the front. It's the only seat. And at some point, Chris Reed turns to him. Now, Chris doesn't know anything about him. Doesn't know. Nobody in the room knows who he is except for Mike Bickle, who allowed me to invite him. And Chris Reed proceeds to say a number of things that I mean, you talk about your head exploding. You think that if I didn't believe in God and I'm sitting in a room and I see this stuff, what would I think? How is it possible that somebody like this would be able to talk to a total stranger who's not a public figure? You can't look anything up about Keith online and find all this. And he just starts telling him, you know, your son's name this and your wife is this and you live on this road or what? You know, well, a lot of people look at it like some kind of sorcery, like it's a parlor trick. It's got nothing to do with God. I mean, we would differ with that.
But it was even better than that, because Chris looked at him and he said, you know, I keep getting Psalm 90 for you. And he said something about the toilsome years. Well,
No. That's how it started. I forgot this. He looks at this stranger who I know is my friend Keith and says to him, I keep getting Psalm 90 for you. Like, he interrupts everything. There's like 30-something people in the room, and they're all suddenly they're looking at the guy who just walked in. And who is this guy, Chris Reed, pointing at, and why Psalm 90 and why the word toilsome? You know, it was just kind of odd, and I'm sitting there just watching it develop. So go ahead.
So he says this to him, and Keith's eyes start to well up with tears. And, you know, it was a cross between straight delivering a word and a bit of dialogue. But Keith pretty soon discloses that the street he lives on is called Toilsome, and the street number is number 90.
And this is in Schenectady, in case you want to go dox him. So, but honestly, it's so weird. He lives in a suburb of Schenectady, but I got to tell you, we just sat there. My eyes just popped out of my head. I thought, what? This is crazy. Yeah. But it goes on from there. I mean, that's just the first thing. And he starts saying this and that and other things. Then you get a word. Anybody who hasn't experienced this, I just want to tell you, folks, it's so beautiful. Because unless you're nuts, It points you to God, points you to the God of the Bible. It doesn't point you toward the gift. It points you to the gift giver, because this guy, Chris Reed, he didn't come up with this himself. God gave it to him for God's purposes. But it was so beautiful. I mean, we've got a lot more to cover, but that was just one of many crazy things. No, we're going against a hard break. Folks, we'll be right back. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Talking to Ken Fish. Oh, you've heard about him. Well, here he is. Ken, I had to cut you off because we were going to a hard break, as we call it in show business. You were in the middle of saying something important, it sounded like.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that with you know, this word, but most of the words that were being given through this weekend, you know, Paul the Apostle says in his letter to the Corinthians that when the gift of prophecy is in operation and the secrets of men's and women's hearts are laid bare or are exposed, then those who might otherwise be non-believers, Paul says, he will fall down in your midst and say, God is truly among you. And that's really the sense that I think everybody had, was this sense of awe, of wonder, of, oh my gosh, you know, God really does have infinite knowledge. God really is omniscient. He really does speak to people. He's alive today, and the things that we see in the Bible are actually not relegated only to the Bible, and they certainly are not myth and legend, because we're seeing them on exhibit in front of our own eyes. I think that's the cumulative effect that that kind of demonstration leaves on people.
And you know, to be clear, again, there are many, many people that I respect deeply that differ with us on this. I don't know what to say, except if you've experienced what you and I have experienced, it's very hard to dismiss this. At some point, it becomes ridiculous. And you yourself have been a party to this. God speaks to you, tells you things about people. You know, at some point, people have to say, are you making it up? Or is this from the devil? What, you know, and then what's the fruit? People are getting healed and being led to Jesus of the Bible. So I don't know how to read it, but you were in all these meetings, and one of the most amazing things about IHOP Kansas City and Mike Bickle is the stories. I mean, stories going back to 1983 that are just like nothing I have ever heard. And let's be honest, Mike Bickle, when he encountered this at first, not only did he not believe in this stuff, but he was actively speaking against it. He was convinced this is bad stuff. And he got hit with the proverbial 2x4 because Paul Kane enters his life. Bob Jones, that prophet from Arkansas, enters his life. And what do you say to folks like that? I mean, I don't know where they came from, but they are just some of the most really, I guess, hard to dismiss phenomena. I mean, those two guys, I mean, a lot of people don't know of them. Where can people find out about Paul Kane or Bob Jones, these prophets who both passed away in the last decade?
So Paul Kane still has a website up. It's Paul Kane Ministries, so you can find him there. You can also find footage of him on YouTube. So it's Paul, last name Cain, Paul Kane. And then Bob Jones, now he should not be confused with the man who founded the Fundamentalist University in the eastern U.S., as I recall, it's in North Carolina. This is the same name, different man, but Bob Jones is exactly the way you would expect it to be spelled. You can look him up on YouTube. There's footage of him. And the way you'll know you've got the correct guy is he has, well, earlier in his life he had dark hair, but as he aged it became snow white, and he has beady dark eyes, and he is rather rotund. And he had a very different type of prophetic gift, but equally as impressive as what Paul Kane had. If I were going to describe the two men, I would say Paul Kane was probably 70% word of knowledge along the lines of what we just described with Chris Reed, and 30% foretelling, meaning things of the future that were yet to come. And Bob Jones was probably exactly inverse, maybe 30% word of knowledge and 70% foretelling. And in some ways, Chris and I are a bit like that. He's, 70 or 80% word of knowledge with some foretelling. I do more foretelling and somewhat less word of knowledge of the caliber that Chris Reed has. But anyway, that's a way to think about the similarities and differences.
Our mutual friend Jack Deere was another person who came out of the Dallas Theological Seminary who was dead set against all this stuff. And then some point began encountering it and could not deny what he was experiencing. He did not he cared deeply whether it was scriptural. And so he settled it that for him, there was no theological problem here. But he was thrown out of Dallas Theological Seminary for believing in what we call the gifts of the Spirit. So this ends up being controversial. But boy, if you've experienced it, it's hard to believe that anybody who loves God or the Bible, that they would just see it and then say this is counterfeit or something. But what we saw was amazing. But I guess the point I want to make is that what astonished me the most is that Mike Bickle and the folks at IHOP Kansas City, they are the most biblically literate people I have ever encountered. I was just absolutely stunned at especially Mike's knowledge of the scripture. These are people who not only pray around the clock, but they study the scripture around the clock. And over the decades, it's kind of amazing. Now, he gave a teaching. We're talking about Mike Bickle, which was a big deal. You want to talk about that when he talked about the end times in Israel?
Well, core to the tenets by which IHOP KC functions is they believe that they have a calling to minister to and among the Jews. And for those that might rankle a bit, I wouldn't say this is directly about converting the Jews as much as the belief that God himself will bring them to a wholehearted devotion back to himself, but that the ministry there has a role to play in all of that. And Mike believes that another great persecution on the Jewish people is coming to the earth. He has a lot of scripture to back that up, which is part of what you're referring to, Eric. And he believes that the Lord is going to bring a group of people about who are, we could call it a Cori Ten Boom generation, people who will willingly endure hardship, possibly to the point of laying down their lives for the sake of the Jewish people. So this is a very different way of thinking about Jewish-Gentile interaction or Jewish-Christian interaction than maybe what we've seen through the years. But I would say unequivocally, Mike and his team they love Israel. They love the Jewish people. They're deeply committed to serving them in whatever way is necessary. And again, you don't often see this kind of focus, especially from a whole church or a whole movement, on laying down your life for another person or another group of people.
I mean, it really was just, it was so beautiful. But so much of what happened was beautiful that it really is hard to sum up. I thought at least we can get a start with you. I remember when you were telling me, I was on a long drive, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and you kind of gave me you started laying down the basics for what's behind Mike Bickle wanting to pull me in along with some of these other folks, Chris Reed. And it's interesting because we're all coming from very different places. And Francis Chan, I think, is the most impressive in that he is risking a lot by standing with somebody like a Mike Bickle, much less with me. And he preached about that on Saturday night and how we need to stand together. And it was so beautiful because you talk about countercultural, deeply countercultural. This is the kind of thing where I'm going to stand with people even if I don't agree with them. And I've talked about that a lot on this program. Anytime any is being canceled or attacked, we need to stand with them. Don't let them be taken down by jackals. Get in there. And if the church would behave that way, if they had behaved that way in the 30s in Germany, as Bonhoeffer was exhorting them to do, the Holocaust wouldn't have happened. I mean, so it's very interesting, strange parallels.
Right, exactly. And we, of course, talked about this when you and I were on stage together. And, you know, you have this quotation in your Bonhoeffer book. Nobody had mentioned it from the stage, so I did. But Martin Niemöller was a German theologian during the Nazi era. And, you know, he famously said, "First, they came for the communists, but I said nothing because I was not a communist. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I said nothing because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." And, you know, it's really that kind of funneling down that we're seeing as people are being canceled, whether it's, you know, you with being canceled on YouTube, Mike Lindell being canceled from major chain stores in the United States. If he wants to spend his own money researching an election, it could be a fool's errand. Maybe there's something there. But why are we canceling him and refusing to carry his product line because he chooses to spend his money that way? I mean, the whole premise is antithetical to free speech, free inquiry, the very nature of what we have understood to be free academic and, I might say, American political discourse from the founding of this country. And yet now, you know, I would say an unbridled and not even veiled attempt to silence people from speaking what they believe is underway.
Folks, I'm talking to Ken Fish. You can find him at Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S, ministries.org. Who can be found at Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S, orbisministries.org. So, Ken, what are the implications of what you've been saying, what we've been talking about, for the church?
Yeah, I think this is a really important point because, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of religion are both First Amendment rights. They're both enshrined in the same amendment to the Constitution. And so what's happening is in the whole cancel culture effort, and I'm now speaking specifically on the Christian implications, is if people don't like the implications of Christianity, if people don't like our doctrine, if they don't like our morals, if they don't like, well, you know, we believe this and therefore we live this way and we want to articulate or teach that, if we follow the logic of the cancel culture line of reasoning, where this inevitably takes us is we need to snuff out Christianity. We need to silence those who are Christians. And I might add by extension, if Muslims happen to side with us on certain cultural issues, we're going to silence the Muslims. And I might add, if the Jews, who, you know, their scriptures are our scriptures, you know, if they draw certain conclusions out of their scriptures, well, we're going to silence Orthodox Judaism.
And let's be clear, this is about America. It's not about faith. Right. It just so happens that most serious Muslims in America, most serious Jews in America, and most serious Christians in America have a biblical view of sexuality and marriage and those kinds of things. So it's got nothing to do with our differences, but just focus on that. In America, our freedom to live out our faith as enshrined in the documents that we see as primary, that's at the bottom of what it is to be free. That's being challenged. And so, yeah, they're going to come after Christians. They're going to come. I mean, usually the Christians in America, we're going to be the punching bag. We're going to be the canary in the coal mine. Of course, in Europe in the 30s, it was the Jews. But it's so fascinating to me how the devil doesn't care. He's going to come after whoever he needs to come after, because it's about pure power. It's not about this group or that group. It's just about who threatens my power. And so what we're seeing in the whole world right now, you see it in China, is that who is it that threatens the power of this state that does not get its power from the people or from God, but just violently takes the power and wants to keep the power? Those folks are threatened principally by people of faith, usually Christians, but often whether it's Falun Gong or Uyghur Muslims. Anybody who says, no, I answer to a higher authority, that is a direct threat to the power of the Communist Party. And in this country, it's very similar. The people that they don't care in the founder's vision, they care about their power, they care about intersectionality, they care about that kind of stuff. Who threatens them the most? People who say, oh, we're interested in truth, we're interested in free inquiry, they say, well, that could harm us. We want to shut you down. So now, of course, they're coming after vocal Christians. And so Christians that are not so vocal are being tempted to be more quiet, because if I say anything, they'll come after me. If we don't stand together, I mean, it's kind of funny, but they said this, I guess, in 1776. I remember, because in college I was in the musical 1776, but the famous line, which was spoken probably by Franklin, but, you know, if we don't hang together on this, then we will certainly hang separately. That's very important for us to understand, that if we will stick together on the basics, on what it means to be an American, then we will stand. But if we just say, well, let that group take the heat now, let that guy get canceled, I don't care, I'm going to step back and watch, well, then eventually we'll all be hanged separately. And it's just kind of fascinating, isn't it, Ken, that we're dealing with these same principles come up over and over.
Well, and not only do they come up over and over, but they're actually embedded in the scripture. So when we look at, for example, the book of Daniel, Daniel and three of his friends are carried away as captives, slaves, to Babylon. And early on in their experience, his three friends are thrown into a fiery furnace because they will not bow down and worship a statue that has been raised that represents the power of the state. It happens to be a statue of the king, but it represents the power of the state. And they say, we're not going to do that because we worship God. And so they get thrown into the fiery furnace and they say, God's able to rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship the statue. Well, the story goes on in the Bible and they are in fact rescued. They don't burn up. And so, all right, they're taken out. Later on in the same book, the book of Daniel, Daniel refuses to follow a decree that gets issued by the Persian king now, and he gets thrown into a den of lions. But God rescues him out of the den of lions. But again, it's the same principle. Will I bow down to the state or do I worship God? Then we roll forward from all of that. We have in the time of the New Testament, the apostles are threatened after the death of Jesus by the same people who put Jesus to death. So I would call this a credible threat. And they say, judge for yourselves whether it is right in the eyes of God to listen to you or to listen to God. We're going to serve God. And if you kill us, you kill us. So there we see it. And then finally, you know, after the apostles are all dead, and of course, Jesus is ascended to heaven, now we have the early church. And in the early church, it was a well-known thing. They would set up a statue of the emperor and they would give a Christian a little grain of, it was about the size of a grain of rice, and it was incense. And they would tell them, if you'll just throw that piece of incense that's the size of a grain of rice, if you'll just throw that onto the hot coals that are right in front of the statue of the emperor and worship him, we won't kill you because you'll be worshiping the emperor. And of course, in those days, the emperor was believed to be divine. And so, you know, Christian after Christian after Christian said, I will not do it because that would be worshiping another
this
god.
This is I want to unpack this when we come back. This is so wonderful to get this history line. We'll be right back with Ken Fish.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Ken Fish with Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S, ministries.org. Ken, you just gave us this timeline from history and the scriptures about this principle of if you believe in the God of the Bible, you may bump up against a state power telling you, yeah, you can do whatever you want, but you need to bow to the state here. And if you really believe in the God of the Bible, you say, well, I can't do that. No matter what, you could threaten me with death or whatever. I can't do that. And it brings us to today. If you really, really, truly believe the God of the Bible is alive and real, then you don't have fear taking that stand because you know he already defeated death. Actually, it's not just a nice idea, but you can test it. You can live it out. And we're finding that a lot of people today are afraid to live it out. They don't really seem to believe it, or they're mushy on the theology. They say, well, Romans 13, or I don't want to be divisive. I don't want to be political. But they've got their eye off the ball. Like, they're good people, but they're often just misunderstanding how you live this out at a time like right now.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I call this the domestication of our faith. And, you know, there is something about God himself that, you know, he can't be contained. The scripture even says the highest heavens can't contain him. And, you know, we are called in scripture by the words of Jesus himself to love the Lord our God first and foremost. And the second commandment is similar to it, but a little bit different. We love our neighbor as ourself. And you notice the way I have my hands placed, the obedience to, the loyalty to, the fealty to, the allegiance to God always supersedes the allegiance to our neighbor, and that might even include governments. Now, in the best times, you know, we can serve God with a clear conscience, and we can also be loyal to our own government. And I would say in earlier times in America, it was frequently the case that there was a congruence there where we didn't find conflict between serving God and serving the body politic. But there are times in history, some of which I've already named, where the body politic is trying to take us in a direction that might actually be contrary to the Lord. And when that occurs, then we have to make hard choices about, you know, who are we going to serve? And also, in what way will we say no if we have to say no? And there's a range of options, of course. But at the end of the day, we cannot ever lay down the idea that it's in the ancient Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and him only shall you serve. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So this is really, we love him with our emotions. We love him with our thinking. We love him with our body. All that we do, we have to give expression to that allegiance to God first, foremost, and always. And that may at times supersede our loyalty to the state.
Well, yeah, and that's on the state, right? It's not like we chose that situation. And that's why I think we have to be honest and just respond to circumstances. We're not running after politics, but if politics comes to you, if you're told to throw a pinch of Caesar, pinch of incense to Caesar, you have to say, "Well, I can't do that." And if you're told to do any number of things, you've got to realize there are times, folks, when you didn't ask for it, but it comes to you. Somebody tells you, the government now says you have to celebrate various different sexualities. You're obliged to say, "I'm sorry, I can't do that, and I won't do that because I can't do that." So whatever happens after that, that's what happens. But you can't say, "Well, let's see." You cannot do those kinds of things. If somebody says that you've got to bow to the idea that sexuality is and gender are fluid or something like that, you have to say, "Sorry, I can't do that." It's not like I have an option. I have no option. I can't do that. I'm a Christian. That's where we are. And so these are the things that we have to take very seriously. I posted a lot of these videos and things. There was something that happened. I don't know if you remember this, but we were leaving a lunch, and Chris Reed, there was maybe five of us, and he said, "I'm just wondering, does anybody here have a birthday that's near their father's birthday?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. In fact, my birthday is on my father's birthday," which of course is extremely rare. And he says, "Oh, well, then I have a word for you." And he gives me this word. But it was like one of these wacky things. So you come out of the building, and I say, "Ken, you can't believe what just happened." I said, "Chris Reed just said, does anybody here have a birthday near their father's birthday?" And I said, "My birthday is on my father's birthday." And you then said,
"My birthday is on my father's birthday."
Now, the odds of that, if you do the math, are nuts. Nuts.
Yeah.
So 365 times 365 times 365. But it was just one of those moments where, you know, you think, where did Chris Reed get that from? So if you're curious about the prophetic, you should look into it, folks. There's really some very interesting, beautiful things happening. We've just got a couple of minutes left, Ken. What have we not talked about? First of all, you're going to be in New York August 19th, 20th, 21st, Christian Union event. You're going to be in Boston at the end of July, July 23rd, 24th, 25th. If people go to orbisministries.org, is your calendar there?
It's all there, yep. And my meetings are open, so anybody who wants to come can come along. I also, by the way, this weekend will be in Atlanta, Georgia, if anyone wants to come to Atlanta.
Where in Atlanta?
Snellville, which is a suburb of Atlanta, and the name of the church is LifeGate International.
Boy, you travel a lot. It was just wonderful to see your family. You've got a pretty amazing family. I think getting that time together was just so valuable, because when do we get to hang out together?
For days.
And, you know, make doctor's appointments around, you know, with each other listening. Like, we were living our lives in community. And it was really beautiful. And so I'm so grateful to Mike Bickle and the IHOP gang. They are the sweetest people. I was really absolutely overwhelmed. I wish I'd gotten there 20 years earlier. I guess I want to tell people, if they want to go to check that out, it's ihopkc.org, I think. But I will be posting it on my website. Folks, go to, please, I keep saying this, please do this. Please go to ericmetaxas.com, please, and sign up for my newsletter, and we'll send all this stuff to you. Ken, my friend, God bless you. Thanks for everything.
Thanks for having me back, Eric. It was great to be with you, and it's great to be with you now.
We'll be right back.
Hey there, folks. What a day. Albin has pointed out, utterly unnecessarily, and yet I appreciate it, that this is a day of Kens. Ken Fish, Ken Harrison. Wow, what are the odds?
Yeah.
That's got to work.
Exciting.
The day of Kens. Okay, so and we got a couple things.
Whether this is first hour or second hour, just keep in mind skinny jeans and flying and fog machines and pieces on the ground. That's something you have to remember for today.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. This is actually something you really, really do have to keep in mind. We'll talk about this later. But this week only, folks, this week only, NutraMedics.com is offering 30% off when you use the code ERIC. Not 20% off, which is the usual whopping discount, 20%. No, they said because we were canceled from YouTube, they wanted to help us out. 30% this week only. Take advantage of this. If you were thinking of trying anything, try it now. It's 30% off. NutraMedics.com. I also want to say that because we were canceled by YouTube, you know, we're living in strange times.
Yes.
And I've talked about this. I talked about it when I was at IHOP in Kansas City recently. And I encourage you to watch those videos. If you go to ericmansaccess.com and sign up for our newsletter. Folks, I'm not going to stop begging you because you have no idea. You're missing amazing interviews and videos and stuff. We're not on YouTube, so you got to. But I talked about this, that people in the church are canceling me. I'm not going to mention the name, but a gigantic Christian retailer to all the independent Christian bookstores has said that they are going to not carry my new book, Is Atheism Dead? Now, is atheism dead? It's pure apologetics. Mm-hmm. It's evangelism. They're not going to carry that because I'm too controversial. My statements about our 45th president, something like that. They are jumping in bed with the Marxist cancel culture and canceling this book. And I thought, this is hard for me to believe. Yeah. This is like an overtly Christian bookstore chain kind of thing. Again, I'm not going to give the name until I know this is 100% official.
Yeah.
But it just breaks my heart that people who are overtly Christian are doing a thing like this. So I'm asking you if you're able to do this, folks, because we're going to need your help. This is a weird battle. Please pre-order Is Atheism Dead? They'll give you the best price between now and when you actually get shipped the book. So you won't get charged till October. But if you pre-order it, it helps a lot. We're in a strange battle. There is nothing political or controversial about what is in the book, Is Atheism Dead?
Right.
But this chain, and I will be mentioning them if they have decided to go through with this. I think they have. But it's going to be devastating for evangelism. Think about this.
I was just going to say the same thing. I wrote this down on the train on the way in. I said, we're supposed to wash feet, not lick boots. And I think that's what's happened to the church a lot today.
Wow. Well, that's kind of, in other words, you think they're scared of something, and so they just pull back and go, anything controversial, we're going to step away.
Yeah.
And I think, step away from what? From a book, I mean, again, it's Is Atheism Dead? It's looking into proof of God, proof of the veracity of the scripture and biblical archaeology, and then it looks into, and I thought to myself, this is meant to be a blessing to believers and to non-believers to say, let's reason together. So when I heard that, I almost couldn't believe it. My publisher and I were just stunned that we are at that point. So I'm asking you, I will name the name of this, and if they go through with this, I'm really going to go after them. They better get ready because this is really bad when this has come into the church. So the book is Atheism Dead? And you go to my website, ericmansaccess.com, go to books, and you can pre-order it there. But I'm asking you, we need your help. We need your help. So please do that. Go to ericmansaccess.com. While you're there, sign up for the newsletter, sign up your friends for the newsletter, because we want to share all this stuff with you. And because of all these cancellations, it's become really difficult. So God bless you. When we come back, we've got way more information on all kinds of stuff. Stick around.